Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chita Rivera is a Broadway legend. She's won two Tony Awards as Best Leading Actress in a Musical, The Rink and The Kiss of the Spider-Woman, and received seven additional Tony nominations. Rivera is now reprising a role she's played before in The Visit, the 2001 musical by John Kander and Fred Ebb. She initially starred in the show's world premiere in Chicago in 2001. She's done the play a handful of times since then and is now starring in a new production of The Visit on the main stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival, which runs from July 31st through August 17th. In the play, Rivera plays an ultra-wealthy woman who returns to her hometown to offer its impoverished residents a huge sum of money in exchange for murdering the man who wronged her years ago. She is a Broadway legend, and it's a great pleasure and an honor to welcome Chita Rivera to the Roundtable.
It's lovely being here, and it's fun hearing the description of what the show is about. That was very nice. It is also a serious European love story. A lot of people like to think it's a story about revenge, but it's really, really not. It's political, it's witty, and John Doyle is doing an amazing job.
There has to be, this seems obvious, but there has to be something about it that you love to have been attached to it for so long.
It's very simple. It was Kander and Ebb at the very beginning. I wouldn't be here if it were not for Fred and John. We've worked together for so many years in so many wonderful pieces. And so when they called and said they had this, and Terrence was writing it, and Ron King and Frank Galati, you're going to say, you know, I'll just sit home and eat chocolates? I mean, it was extraordinary, you know, and I totally trust them, and it was a wonderful experience. We did it twice, once in Chicago, and the next time was in Virginia at the Signature, and we were very satisfied with that. It was a huge question, though, after that one for me, because I didn't really understand what happened, you know, why, the whys. And I really asked everybody bluntly, please tell me, you know, what was wrong? And nobody seemed to have an answer. Well, I've been through the Spider-Womans and the shows that, well, Spider-Man in particular, it was in Purchase, New York, and it was meant to be a workshop. And then they would probably be forced to have the Hal Prince, of course, Susan Stroman, would be forced to, and Kander them, forced to have critics come in. But they came in before they were ready for them, and they totally killed it. So I have experience with, and I wasn't in that one, John Simon had suggested that I be hired for it, and I'm very grateful for him, even though the guys were my friends. And then Garth Drabinsky took it. So it had a timing of its own, you know? It wasn't supposed to happen at that time. To satisfy myself, I've thought it just probably wasn't the right time. Please God, this is the right time. Because what's happening in that room is so exciting, and I know what excitement is, because I was in the room with Leonard Bernstein and Jerome Robbins and Stephen Sondheim and Bob Fosse and Cy Coleman. I mean, what a lucky gal. What a lucky gal. I know how lucky I am, and I do say thank you, God. So what's happening in there? If it didn't go any further than that room, and please God, let's hope it does, or this stage, and we're very grateful that we're here at Williamstown. As an artist, I would be extremely satisfied. It would break my heart a little bit because I really think John Doyle and Roger Rees, I mean, it's European, really, and they brought with them Europe. So John Doyle, you know, I come from a dancer, choreographer world, director, dancer, choreographer, director world, you know. To see the way he works, the layers he puts, the opening up of certain subjects, because it's a very complex play, very complex. And then the style. So it's exciting. I'm very happy to be here.
I know in the New York Times article about the show recently, I think it was Terrence McNally who said that part of the problem was timing with September 11th, and that had a lot to do with it.
That definitely, the first time around, that definitely. I mean, I remember Frank Galati brought the entire cast up on the roof of the theater. And I guess it was just to get us all together in the open air and to talk about what was happening. And he just picked that space up there, and I'll just never forget it. And so we think that most definitely must have had something to do with the first version.
So it's now been scaled back a bit. It's I think the word was used, an exacto knife taken to it. And you're comfortable with that?
Absolutely. Because each time is the first time. And that's the way you have to look at it. And that's what you do when you go out of town with a brand new musical anyhow. You know, you go to Philadelphia. That's my past. You know, you go to Philly or to Boston or New Haven, and you get the guy sit in the hotel room, and they get the scissors out and the erasers, and that's how they tighten it and discover other things that they have to do. So, yes, we are now doing it in one act instead of two.
As far as the hope of it going beyond, is that still, as you mentioned, you know, you hope that it does, but I assume you would love to be on Broadway again.
Yeah, I would, but I have to tell you, I've been doing my concerts and everything all across the country. There are magnificent theaters all across this country. There are magnificent people who are hungry for theater all across this country. And I have worked for them and with them. And there's also England and other parts of the world. We shall see what we shall see, but it would be nice to be in the right place, actually. I mean, to be on Broadway again. That's really big. I'm not sure, you know, if that's what I want to say. I just would like this piece to be seen in the right place, you know.
Yeah.
If it's England, then it's England. If it's, you know what I mean? If it's New York and New Yorkers are ready for it, the theater is very different now than years ago. So I don't know. We sort of have to wait and see what the universe says, you know?
You talked a moment ago being in that room with these giants, with these the greats of theater. And as you just mentioned, theater has changed. Are there positives in that? In the changes that you see?
There must be. I haven't been to the theater.
There must be. I just don't know what they are.
Horrible. It's going to sound so awful because I haven't been to the theater. I mean, it changed many years ago. It would go from the big musical with the eight singers and the eight dancers and coming downstage and singing the last notes. And then it went to the Irma La Douces and the smaller, you know. And so theater changed that way. And now it's there are a lot of Disney shows, and there are other things. There are musical, you know, like groups. I think the Beatles had their show in, and there's Motown. And so there's a whole other look. I just hope, because the theater is where you go to have an experience. The theater is where you go to see the art of the composers, choreographers, writers. At the top of the list. It's where you go to be excited, to be saddened, to be reminded, to hear great stories. John Doyle is telling this story. I just said to John yesterday, I said, you know, I have a feeling that maybe if Dormont were alive, he might like this with music. You know, one would hope so. I had the same feeling with Spider-Woman. So all you can do what you do and tell that story and hope that the theater goer really wants to have an experience in the theater, not just sit back. And John told a story just before I came in here about some woman that was watching his show, and she said, oh, this is so wonderful. It's so wonderful to be able to come to the theater and not have to think. That's not what the theater is about. You have to come to the theater and feel and think and be taken someplace. That's our job, you know? So this is a story that has to be, you know, if you care about art, I think this is it.
How much do you believe in chemistry, of that it's important that you and Roger Rees, that you meld?
I've been lucky my whole life because I've had fabulous leading men, and we all melded together. Roger Rees is just extraordinary as a person, as an actor. I'm learning so much being in between these two men that have done just everything, all sorts of Shakespeare and everything else. And he's so much fun to be with, and he's passionate. We get to those scenes where we're confronting each other. I'm certainly confronting him. It's very easy to tell the story looking into his eyes. He is that person that that told that lie those years ago and connived and ruined her life. And she says somewhere in the play, "You chose your life, but you forced me into mine." And he plays that person. And I can see it right in that hall. You're also asking personal, I could think. I just adore him as a guy, as a smart person that really cares about. He's not selfish at all on stage. You know, he just gives it all, and I'm taking it.
I think this is generally the impression that West Side Story made you a star.
Well, I always question, what is a star? I always said Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, they are the stars because they cannot be replaced. But I think West Side, because of the creators, enabled us to be seen, really doing amazing work. I had done before that, a musical, Shoestring Revue. It was a review, and it was fabulous. I mean, it was where I worked with Biafra the first time, and my very first show was Jerome Robbins' Call Me Madam. I was one of the four principal dancers. So I had, and Guys and Dolls, and Can Can, and I mean, I had, but everybody recognized West Side as this change in the theater. And so we came right along with it. So if maybe that is, when you're an artist in the theater, you don't really think that much about star. I guess it's recognition you're really talking about, isn't it?
It is, but when you're Anita in that show and you're singing "I Like to Be in America," you have to feel that from an audience that there is a connection.
Oh yeah, but I'm singing Leonard Bernstein's music and Stephen Sondheim's lyrics. So it's a package, you know. I will admit that, thank God, they picked the right person. That I was there at the right time, and it was meant to be. It could have been the other way around. Rita could have done that, maybe, even though they're kind of like different, the movie version, and I could have done the movie. I don't want that. I was not at all unhappy not to do the film. I was doing Bye Bye Birdie at the time anyhow with Dick. But to breathe the first breath of life into a character is a blessing.
You spoke about recognition, but it's at that point, I guess it's easier, right, for you to get roles. You are recognized. People know your work.
Well, if you're really right for the role, they'll call you before they call, you know, a group of people that they don't know, if you're lucky. So I guess maybe you get a little more in front of the line. All I know is that it was hard work all the way. And I like hard work. Dancers like hard work.
We hear a lot about the aging of a dancer and at what point is it? Well, it looks pretty damn good.
You're very kind. Thank you very much.
do you think about that, or do you just say, okay, this is the way it goes, and this is I'm going to write it as long as I can?
Yeah, that's exactly. If you still want to express something, if you still like that rapport between an audience, and you still want to tell a story, you still want to sing a song. I remember seeing, oh my goodness, I can't remember her name now. It's a wonderful nightclub artist, and I'll think of it later, too late. And I remember saying, I would like to gracefully move into that area, just to sing, stand in front of a microphone and sing some really interesting songs with beautiful melodies, wonderful melodies, and great words and stories. That's if I want to do it by the time I get to that, you know. I've been lucky because Freddie and John, their shows have had great books, thanks to Terrence and their choices. When I got to Spider-Woman and I was put in Florence Klotz's clothes, I knew that I was ready for Spider-Woman. Had Spider-Woman come maybe 10 years sooner, I might not have been ready for that. I was extremely interested in that subject, in death. And of course, I had Brent Carver there, too. It was an extraordinary cast. But I put on that red dress and that Spider-Woman dress, and I went, this feels like me. And I was ready for it, you know. So I've been very lucky, you know. I think I've been pretty much on course. I'm a happy girl.
You seem happy, and that's great.
It's a drag to be anything else, isn't it? It is a drag. And I used to always look at my watch when somebody was having a tantrum or something like that, and they'd say, well, what do you think about it? I have nothing to say because I have 10 minutes left, and I'm going to use my 10 minutes as best I can. So I'm not going to waste my time with anything, if I can help it, that's going to make me unhappy. Life is too difficult anyhow, you know. And with losing friends and losing family. And I have a wonderful family, and I have a wonderful daughter. So I've got lots to be very, very grateful for.
It seems that you enjoy the collaborative process, that being here with John and with Roger and Terrence McNally, right, your choreographer, that you enjoy that.
I do, but I also trust. I really trust, and I can. And that's also, you know, I come from what they call the golden age. You know, that's what we did. You know, we trusted our creators, and they told us what to do, and we did it, or we did variations of it. And they would see what was good for the play, good for you, and that was a collaboration. I have to admit, being a dancer, we didn't open our mouths very much. We did as we were told. Times have changed.
You don't strike me as a person that would necessarily do what you were told.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, on the stage?
Director?
Yeah.
And absolutely.
But otherwise?
Got a cigarette? No. Because this is going to be a long night. If it's right, if I agree, I'm not hard to get along with. The rope is very long for you to hang yourself if things are not going well. I mean, I really like, I'm an Aquarian, you know. I don't do that sign thing, but I am typically Aquarian. I like everybody to be content and okay. And then if it's not, let's fix it so we don't have to clean it up later, and let's move forward. And I love to laugh. I tell the kids all the time, do not lose your sense of humor. Because then you can't do anything by yourself anyhow in this world. What is that, you know? So that's just the way I'm.
That's a great laugh.
I love to laugh.
Well, Cheetah Rivera is now starring in a new production of Candor and Ebbs, The Visit, on the main stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival, which runs July 31st to August 17th. You can find out more at wtfestival.org, wtfestival.org. Cheetah Rivera, what an honor. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for making it fun for me. I enjoyed it very much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.